anyone can be successful. Anyone can be famous. It's whether or not you can hold it, mm-hmm. whether or not you have the bandwidth and the nervous system to hold all that, you know, that's the key, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and you see it happening all the time in Hollywood.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational and living a life full of transformation. Thank you so much for being here. I have been a follower of yours for the past 5 years and really devoted during just this big shift we've all been through as a collective, just seeing your truth telling and bravery in that and really resonating as another woman who feels very similar. And it's just been so nice during these times to be able to find people that share similar values. So I'm so grateful that we're here. Connecting.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think whatever happened in the last few years, what it did do is bring us towards people that we're meant to be mm-hmm. connected to.
Absolutely.
It was like a detox, you know.
For sure. It's cutting of the fat.
Yeah. It cleansed. I know I for sure lost friends, family members, business. But then on the other side, I gained.
Yeah.
People who really, you know, it's like a heart connection.
Rich,
heart, mind.
Deep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you'd prefer to have a community where you're totally aligned.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
And sharing similar values.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all that being said, would you introduce yourself
sure.
to my audience in whatever way you feel called to do? Yes. Yes.
I'm Shiva Rose, and I have been in the wellness world, my gosh, for so many years. I always say
you're
that.
You're an OG.
Thank you. I think OG, I like to call myself pre-goop.
You are pre-goop. I can attest to that.
I actually remember, you know, when Gwyneth started her blog, and I was like, oh, you know, this means I'm on the right track, because I had already had mine for a couple of years. So yes, I've been in the wellness world way too long, and then that move towards green beauty. So I've had my green beauty line for 10 years. I wrote a book, that's almost like 4 years now, called Whole Beauty. And so I'm an author and mama and landowner with my partner. I'm Texan now, which is such a surprise because I was, you know, born in California, raised in Malibu and Topanga. So... you never know what you don't know.
Yeah. What was your upbringing like?
Well, I grew up in Iran the first 10 years because my dad's Iranian, my mom's American. And it was we lived in rural Iran by the mountains. And it's actually similar to where I'm at now, strangely enough. Like there were things like they burn the trash there. They burn the trash in Texas. There's certain things that I'm thinking, wow, I really went back to my roots, you know, just the rural living. We live about 20 minutes to a town in Iran. We lived probably that or more. So it's been interesting to see how life will take you back to sort of what you know or what you remember as a child. So I grew up in Iran, and then we came to Los Angeles when I was 10. And I was there, you know, I was born there, left, came back, and then that's where I was until, you know, just recently.
Yeah. And then, so you were mama at a young age.
I was mama at a young age, 24.
And were you always into wellness too?
Not by choice. I think it was just that I was diagnosed after the birth of my first daughter. I was told I had a year to live because I had, couldn't recover. And I was like, gosh, this motherhood is much harder than they tell you. And I went to a dermatologist because I had a patch on my back. And I had made up the story in my head that I had leaned back against a radiator and burned myself. That was the story I had. But when I went to see him, he was like, you need to go see a rheumatologist like today. I was like, okay. And then he diagnosed me, the rheumatologist, with scleroderma. That's what I had on my back, where the collagen hardens, lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And he told me I had a year to live, basically. And luckily, I'm a rebel.
That's why I like you. You like me. Yep.
Yes, I'm a rebel. And I said, Dr. Bluestone, he was in Beverly Hills, you know, very posh office. I was like, no, Dr. Bluestone, that's not my story. And I knew, I was like, this can't be the end. You know, I just had a baby. I just, there's no way. I want to feel better, but this can't be the
Did he give you options, or was he just like...
He just said the way it looked on my blood work and the way things seemed, it looked like it was, you know.
That's what they say.
Dire prognosis. That's why now, I mean, I think getting blood work is wonderful because we want to see the information, but I also know things change, you know, and that's not written, that's not law. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are fluid and we heal and we change and we shift. And so, you know, now I know that. And then funny enough, a friend of mine said, well, you should go see Dr. Saram Khalsa. He's also in Beverly Hills. And I was like, Saram Khalsa? Okay. And I went to see him and he was a Sikh. He was a Jewish MD from Brooklyn who like converted to Sikhism in the 70s and was now like a Sikh doctor who combined Western and holistic Ayurvedic. And at that time, this is the 90s, nobody like did that. Nobody. And he said, I will make you feel better in a year. So it was such a different like shift. Mm-hmm. And he was more holistic. So that sort of threw me into the world of holistic well-being and medicine. And look, it's been like with healing. And if anyone who's been on a healing journey knows, it's you know, two steps forward, one step back. It's circular, right? You're always like reaching for something and trying to get to the root cause. So, you know, it took many years, but he actually got me on the path. And then you'd like this story. Years later, when I was deep into Kundalini, I would see him at tantric yoga.
Mm.
And we would be meditating on this mountain in New Mexico, you know, for 3 days, 8 hours a day, like white tantric. And I would be like, Dr. Khalsa, he's with the one. And he was like, hello. And it was just like, it'd blow my mind away. Because it was like, I never thought I would be practicing that.
Yeah.
When I'd walk into the office, they all had the turbans, their skin all glowed. Everybody was so like on a whole nother level.
You know? You have the Kundalini skin glow.
I do. Mm-hmm. You too.
It's funny, you know, whenever I put a Q&A box up on Instagram or anything, you know, people are like, what skincare do you use? And what? Yeah. And I'm like, yes. And
yes. Because you do glow from within.
Within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is such a beautiful, which I'm sure it's like, you know, the water, the quality of the water, which we can talk about too. I have a course on water.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about all of it.
All of it.
Did you do a lot of Ayurveda then during that time?
I did some Ayurveda. It wasn't though really truly. I mean, listen, I was 24.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Hollywood. I was an actress. My partner was an actor. I was like,
oh, wow.
This is not like, you know, it was so hard to like find the holistic world. It was not cool then.
Yeah, now it's cool.
Yes. Yeah. So it wasn't, a millionaire, you know, everybody would be. But I remember, you know, like a friend of mine was like an actress and she'd be like, you know, smoking a pack of cigarettes as she would be hiking, you know, and I knew back then like smoking and drinking just wasn't for me. Like I knew intuitively. I think I knew that young because my composition, now I know I have MTHFR, which is, I don't know if you know MTHFR. Mm-mm. It's a 75% of Americans have it. It's basically you cannot detoxify. It's a B, you cannot process B. It's a B vitamin issue, folic acid issue. So you have to take B vitamin that's methylated. So you cannot methylate alcohol. Like that's why, like, you know, even in high school, you know, my friends would drink and then wake up the next morning and have another cocktail. And I'd be like, God, I cannot do that.
I can't do that either. So maybe
you should check. MTHFR is 75%. I mean, it's very common.
Oh,
but you can only tell from blood work.
I'm sure I have that.
Yeah.
Because I've always been like that.
Yeah. If you're extra sensitive,
yes.
You know, and things just, you don't, you know, detoxify easily and you feel better, clean living.
I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, autoimmune disease, migraines, depression. And now I just live like I'm always on a cleanse.
Right.
Eating and I have to.
Right. Does it help?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe have you gotten your upper cervical checked?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll send you to the
guy. Okay. Yeah, send
he's
me.
The best. He's here in Austin, Dr. Bart.
Oh.
And he will, because what a lot of people that have migraines don't know is your atlas, which is this tiny little bone, tiny, tiny, tiny on either side that holds your whole head up. If it's just slightly off, which most people's are, if you've done any kind of sports or any, just been active, an active human being, just being born, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's tiny bit off, it can exasperate headaches and issues. So yes, I have gone deep into this.
All of the things. Yeah.
I will send you his number.
Okay, amazing.
And you will probably, I mean, that's huge. That was a huge piece for me. That, like, you know, only in the last 5 years have I discovered, like, or 7 years of parasites.
That's been huge for me.
Oh,
I mean, like, mind blowing.
Mind blowing. And then the next life-changing. One is cavitations. I don't know if you have cavitations.
I haven't done that. I've done a lot of parasites, a lot of liver flushes. There's a lot with the liver. That's been really big for me.
Yes.
Well, the and skin. Then, yeah, the skin. And then the diet, the kundalini.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're definitely on the same path.
Yeah. The seasons, really mindful of the seasons.
Right.
I really try to eat as close to nature as possible, like with what's in season. That really serves my body.
Macrobiotic. It's called macrobiotic. I remember New York. I mean, people that are my age will remember, like, New York City had the coolest health food restaurants back in the 90s. Like, Suen was one, and another one was Angelica's Kitchen in the East Village. And I was blown away, like, these places existed. You know, they were all healthy and macrobiotic and went by the seasons and were, like, Japanese influenced and, like, so delicious, you know? And now I think, sadly, they're closed.
Like, I know. You know. I know. The OG-ness of it is not really there. But that's all my thing. It's just, like, going back to the basics, stripping it all away.
Yeah. And finding yourself.
Finding yourself. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about kundalini.
Oh.
When did you find kundalini?
Well, I just got chills. So I guess I found it through Dr. Saram Khalsa. He was one of the first Sikhs, you know, and in LA in those days, you'd see the, you know, people with the turbans and you're like, okay, you know, it's just like part of LA, Robertson Boulevard. But I was introduced through him. And then I started doing a little bit of Gurmukh's pregnancy yoga with my firstborn. I was so young. I was 23, 24. But then later with my second, I did it a lot more 9 years later. And then I went through divorce and heartbreak.
Okay, so two babies,
9 years apart, and then
their
dad and
same
I,
dad.
Same dad, and then we split up. So it was after 16 years of marriage. And I really think people find kundalini sometimes when they're down and out. You know?
That's how I found it. Yeah. I mean, I was on my, like, last breath, deathbed.
I don't know if we're allowed to say his name, but
Yogi.
We know he's controversial, but when he did bring it here, he was helping the down and out drug addicts. That's how it started to spread.
Kundalini helped save my life.
Yeah, me too.
Because I had no life force in me and no I was just done. I was like, I can't find it. And it took so much courage to, like, you know, with kundalini, lean into the breath and breathe again and chant again and, you know.
Discipline.
And then it just, you just start to feel that life force starting to turn on again. So it's really saved my life.
It saved mine too.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're here.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And it unlocks everything. I mean, you're such a divine feminine woman to me and but it's helped me too. Like, just, I've lived so out of my masculine and so out of just always trying to protect myself. And it's really helped me soften and trust and
Yes. It's such a beautiful, and it's so rich and deep. And like you said, there's like so many layers to it, like the divine feminine and the, yes, I really miss that time. There was a time in LA, in Venice, California, when Guru Jagat, my dear beloved teacher, started Rama, and there was a synergy happening there, you know, in Venice. Moon Juice, my dear friend Amanda started Moon Juice, and I started to do my skincare, and it was just like this synergy. So I just have such great memories of, like, playing mantras and going to Moon Juice and then Rama.
I think that's like when I first found you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and your skincare. And I had just recently moved to LA, and it was just, it was a movement. It was a really, deep movement. And I wasn't there yet, but I just remember seeing.
Well, I think if you're attracted to it, there's something, right? Yeah. Like you're attracted to that light.
Yeah.
That.
And it's an awakening. It's a huge awakening. And I always refer to it often as the capacity, you know, when you're ready to hold the capacity that comes with it.
That's what Guru Chuckett always used to say, you know, and it would blow me away. She's like, anyone can be successful. Anyone can be famous. It's whether or not you can hold it, mm-hmm. whether or not you have the bandwidth and the nervous system to hold all that, you know, that's the key, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and you see it happening all the time in Hollywood.
Yeah. And it's the light and the dark, you know, the capacity you have to hold the dark is also the capacity you have to hold the light and the pleasure and all of that.
Right. Right. I know. And now I'm putting that to ego and Eros. Like lately I've been diving into like how to be more feminine, and Eros is like life itself. It's like the beginning of life. It's sexual energy. It's sensual energy. It's like a flower blossoming. And the opposite of that is ego. So it's like, that's where I'm like diving into now, like taking that one step further, right? Like,
you should write a book on that.
I know, because I also, believe it or not, I'm very much in my masculine and I don't like it. I overfunction, you know, and I think I'm burnt out. You know, I can tell when I'm getting burnt out. I'm like, oh, no, I got to get back to the Eros, you know? And
I mean, that's so much of the journey of the woman right now.
Yes.
So much, even as being a single young woman and you know, thinking of having children and man and all of that. And I've just been so, I've been saying it to my friends, but like, I want the old role. Like, I believe in the olden days stuff, you know? I want the man, I want him to go to work, I want to be home with my babies and...
Yeah.
You know, but we just, as a society, it just takes so much work for us to get into our soft nature.
It's not like, listen, if you are a mom of babies right now, or if you're running your own business, it's not like, you know, you have to be disciplined in taking that time. Like, this is my time to be soft. You know, we have to plan it, sadly, right? Like.
Yeah, and the world is more set out to, like, we're all kind of, like, fending for ourselves now, which is different.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I know, and it's, like, I was trying to explain to my partner, like, just being a woman, you feel, like, it's like being unsafe is in our body and in our DNA. Like, you don't even, just walking from here to, like, down the street in the dark, you're going to be, like, hypervigilant and in your masculine. Like, you can't undo, that's, like, in us.
Yeah.
You know? The unwinding of that is, like... just takes so long, I feel.
Do you feel, because you just, to me, as someone who's, you seem so in your feminine to me.
Yes, I think I am, but I have the masculine side that is like, you know, a little, like I was saying, over-functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, because the first thing that will happen is I'll get short-tempered, I'll get like, bit. It's like, well, this is why water to me is so interesting, like filling our wells and feeling like fluid and like overflowing with water. I can tell when my wells are like drying, you know? And I just, and like what I yearn for is, well, I go to, like you, I go to places like Kauai fills me up so much. You know, being around other women.
Oh, I see you. You're so Hawaii.
Yeah, Kauai is definitely my heart. New Mexico is not as lush, but there's like a lot of women there, and I love the feeling there too. You know, a lot of my sisters are there, and so I'm feeling like, okay, I need to plan something. I need it for my well-being. This is like as important as your juice or your enema or I need to go away for a couple of days.
Yeah,
so I'll probably tell my partner, you know, my daughter, and just be like, you know, I have to.
Did you have a strong sisterhood in LA?
I did, but a lot of them have left, you know, dispersed, interestingly enough. A lot of them have moved, you know, New Mexico, Guru Jagat passed away, sadly. Yeah, so it's interesting. My other friend moved to New Mexico and then back. She's now in California again. So it's kind of varied. I have a handful of beautiful friends here. They're about an hour away, and we do get together and have tea sometimes and just... you know, beyond the land. We call ourselves ladies of the land.
How did you end up here?
Well, only love would bring me here,
right?
I don't think willing. But then it was like God, I mean, source. Because once I ended up here with my partner, then everything, the world changed. And I was like,
did you come here before that?
Before COVID.
Oh, wow. This wasn't a COVID move.
No. And everybody's like, how did you know? You're just like so ahead of
time. Oh, I thought this was a COVID move. Wow.
But I moved, but once COVID hit, I remember when they said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, because I've lived through a revolution in Iran and we escaped in the middle of the night, because I've seen, you know, bureaucracy and propaganda, I knew it wasn't going to be 2 weeks. That was like back, whatever that was, 2020. I'm so bad with dates. But I packed up my car. I had this feeling of like, I have to get out. I have to get out. Like, it's life or death. Like, I have to get out. They're going to come after my kid. They're going to like put, you know, do something to her. So I packed my animals, my crystals, my daughter, and I drove to Texas. And we had just bought land here.
Okay, so you were planning to go.
I was planning to come eventually.
It felt like that, though. I put my stuff in storage. 3 years. I put my stuff in storage because I felt unsafe there.
Yeah.
From my own freedom.
Yeah. And that to us, being, I mean, I would walk my dog and people were full masks.
Yeah, or outside.
Like, yeah, and they would be like, it was like the Scarlet Letter. They'd be like, you know, looking at me and pointing and whispering. And I was like, what is this reality that I'm living in right now? How can it? And then I drive to Texas and people, like in the gas station, like no mask. I was like, how does the virus stop? Like, how does it stop from the border of Texas?
Or someone's car. There's a lot of people in their cars. Just
I couldn't understand. I was like, there's something. I mean, yes, I believe the virus existed. I'm not like, I do believe that.
It did exist.
Yeah, I mean, I had COVID.
Yeah, I had too. But
yeah, it was awful. But it's like, it was used for sure.
Yeah. And perception and trust. I think the biggest thing was we all need to trust our bodies.
Well, I think it comes down to that. I just got chills again because it really cut the, whatever that term is. You're from Wisconsin, you know. What is that? Cut the sheet. Cut the wheat from the, you know.
I moved from Wisconsin for a reason.
I love that expression though, the chaff from the wheat. Because it really did cut. The hardest for me was to see like yogis and Waldorf moms.
Okay, so this is what I didn't understand.
Girls wearing tie dyes.
For half of my childhood, I grew up in a Waldorf community and went to a Waldorf school.
Oh, you did.
What I didn't understand was that community getting very like, because to me, I thought this is all about health. We had sauerkraut for lunch and beans. So to me, it stopped making sense because I'm like, I was taught in my school systems and stuff that we believe in the power of nature. We believe in the power of our bodies.
Right.
So to see, and then yoga, you know, to all of a sudden not be able to go to yoga.
Yeah.
And to not, it really started to confuse me, which is where I started.
They were arresting people at the beach.
You weren't allowed to walk on the beach, right? So that's when I really started to question this whole thing. And just, you know, it was a fear thing.
I think that's really when the split began. Like, what do you really believe, you know? Mm-hmm. Really truly trust your body, like honor it and believe it, you know, do you? Or is it just, you know, an Instagram post?
Well, and someone like yourself and myself, you know, when you've healed from an autoimmune or you've healed from something that's been debilitating or life-threatening, you just have such a stronger trust in the ability of your body.
And also my daughter was injured at 2. Mm-hmm. So she got injured from a, you know, can't even say it, but you know, the thing. Because I was woken up by then, but someone else took her to the pediatrician. And
Someone else took her?
Yeah, that day. And we were going to Mexico and they like convinced the person to give her the shots that she hadn't had. And I saw her change, like literally overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and then she needed OT and she needed special classes. And then she was diagnosed with autism. You know, it was like, it's been like, truly, it's been, gosh, like 15 years of getting her back.
Well, and you see how our systems are set up.
Yeah.
You know, and the school systems and...
Yes.
It's almost, that's what they want.
Yeah.
And then the control and then something's wrong with you. And I had the same thing. You know, she's got dyslexia. She's got this. And it's like, no, I didn't. No. I just didn't fit into your box.
right. Yeah, which is actually takes more work to be dyslexic, right? You're more brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, to really think about the brain and, Yes. So when that happened and I was like, oh my God, I cannot get my kids. They're going to come after us. You know, and that's when I had that instinct from probably my childhood in Iran to like flee. And luckily I'd met my partner here. Well, I met him in a wedding in Topanga and then he wasn't moving to California. So we decided to buy land together and that's how it all happened. And then a year later, people started moving here. And I was like,
yeah, you definitely are a leader of Aww. Just
a reluctant one, though. I don't think it's yeah. like, I think maybe you identify with this. I don't, it's not something like I set out. It's just you're doing your thing.
No, it's right? A leader. I mean, more so just being ahead of the, like you are connected to your intuition and you're not afraid to make moves in life based on
right,
that.
Right.
And then that gives, I share this quality with you, that gives other people permission to think outside the box, other right. people permission to question, other people permission to make moves in life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think things that people think, you know, it's just, they just have to catch up.
Right? Yeah. I mean, during COVID, you know, I got a lot of flack because I had a very hard time not sharing what I thought on Instagram. And I'm like the 25-year-old, you know, telling everyone to eat fruits and vegetables, speaking about this stuff. And I got attacked Did and my you? Business took
oh
a dip. And
gosh.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, it was like, I can't not be in my truth.
Well, it's so, you know, your age group, my daughter would call me crying every day. She's your age. And she'd be like, Mom, they're not letting me into restaurants. They're not yeah. letting me into bars. They're not letting me. I'm like, what is this world we are living? Just like my friends don't want to hang out with me. They don't want to talk to me. And I was like, what? I mean, I can't even believe that we've come to this. Like, even if somebody is, okay, even if you're worried for your health, you don't have to, you know, the ostracization of that person. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting because I think we resort back to like the worst and the best kind of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fear and
mm-hmm.
or the other.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. There's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
There's a yeah, lot of fear.
Fear can do crazy things to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Body Forward is not just a podcast. I also have online offerings for you if you are looking for a home for your body to further your path of transformation, getting to know yourself, who you really are. If you are someone who knows that there's more out there for you, if you are someone who wants to come online, awaken to who you really are, to feel alive, to be alive, to feel your feelings, to know the depths of yourself, I think you will benefit greatly from my offerings. I use the power of food. I have different cleanses, different detoxes, different food programs that really help us create space within the body to live not only in our best bodies and not only in the body that feels light and lean, but using food as a tool to get to know yourself, to clear out what is no longer serving you so that you can be connected to your true nature. Food is such a powerful tool for us to be able to do that. And I use different modalities that have changed my life. And ultimately, I share a lot of recipes and methodologies that help us return to nature, our true nature. Food as nature. And then I also use the body in different ways through a Kundalini activated practice and meditation practice and using our breath, using our bodies, using movement, using sound to come home to who we are, to remember who we are, to feel our innate power, the power that lives within us. I do an everyday practice with movement, meditation, breath work that is Kundalini inspired, that has helped me with my confidence, my creativity, my sensuality, knowing myself. And I share this daily practice in my Body Forward membership. So if you are looking for a home for the body, I cover it all. I share what I'm doing. I share the practices and I don't hold back in my membership. The link for the membership is in the show notes. You can start a 7-day trial at anytime, cancel at any time. It's risk-free, but I highly recommend jumping into this membership and putting in the daily work to get to know yourself and to live a rich life. What you are looking for lives within you and your body.
But back to Kundalini.
Yes.
So I was practicing a little bit and I was going through heartbreak. Okay. I was going through divorce, and then I was in a 5-year relationship with someone that broke up. So I was mourning both my divorce and the 5-year relationship. And I was like, I need something to heal myself. I don't, want to date any. I just want to heal myself. And my friend introduced me to Guru Jagat one day, and they were hiking in the canyon behind my house, and she was called Kundalini Kate in those days. And my friend was like, do you want to practice with us five times a week in the canyon? I was like, sure. And that's what did it for me. That's because then the neural pathway started to change, mm-hmm. right? And that's what got, I always say to really change, get over heartbreak or to shift something, it's either Kundalini, hypnosis. I mean, maybe, I just think those are the ways you actually change. I haven't done plant ceremony, so I can't say, but I know that
I've done two. So when I got to Austin, completely changed my life. But I was always very attracted to Kundalini. There was something about it that when I would practice it, I felt, ooh.
Yeah.
And then I had a Kundalini kind of awakening through a plant medicine ceremony. Oh. And then I went way back to it, and just, it's been every day since then.
Every day.
Yeah. I went to this ceremony and I said, I want the answer. I spent 7 hours of the ceremony fighting myself. Where's the answer? And then finally there was this voice of God, and it was like, I'll show you the answer if you let go. And I let go, and I had a total Kundalini awakening.
So you had the swirl of energy.
For about an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, and then I got the answer. And so then I went home every day, practiced Kundalini, and it's been different.
See, I think plant medicine is incredible when you do it that.
Yeah.
Once or twice for something major, and then take the tools.
But what I did learn from that is I did two, and I was going to keep doing more, and I stopped because I was like, you know what? I got to just stick with the Kundalini and trust that I can reach those spaces on my own, because what I realize is the plant medicine's also a crutch. It's also a...
Well, they say that gets you to the top of the mountain, but the Kundalini, you're hiking up.
It teaches you how to live in it, and versus it being a destination, a dream, something you did.
Right.
The Kundalini helps you live.
Helps you live. And you have such you can do anything, mm-hmm. right? When you have that practice.
Yeah.
Like doing white tantric on the top of the mountain, I felt like I could do anything. I was like, forget the breakup, God. I'm like,
I am God.
amazing. Now I'm great. I can do anything. I mean, that really does. It is. It's powerful. Well, you're inspiring me to get back into it, because I do every day, a little bit, but I want to get really spend an hour.
And it takes discipline. It really does, because we all want to feel, I've been in this meditation training with Kundalini, and we've talked so much, but as humans, we all want to feel limitless. We all want this connection, and we resist it. We feel limitless and we try to find the limit. We try to find the roof. Mm. So the Kundalini, it's like I resist it every day, because it's like, how much do I want to go feel? How much do I want to go experience? How deeper do I want to go in my life? But it has such high reward.
The self-imposing glass ceiling that we put on.
Yeah. It helps with everything. It helps with money, love, everything.
I mean, it really does. It's profound. And who knows? It's a technology, right? When people say, why? I'm like, well, I think it's part of it. It's a technology. And they knew, because I think Yogi Bhajan had heard about it and brought it. So it's an ancient technology. The other half is using your body and those activating your thyroid and your thymus and your pituitary. You're opening up areas that usually are shut down.
And there's so many, you can choose a practice based on what you're trying to open, which I think is so cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Have you gotten the tantric yet? I wonder if they're doing it again.
No, but I want to.
Yeah. It's amazing. And then you meditate. I mean, you have a partner. And usually it's a stranger, but
my friend, I think they did one in Austin, and she went this past fall and met her lover. Because it was her partner. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yes, you can bond.
Yeah.
To the person. Yeah. No, I have a funny story. I remember there was a white tantric in UCLA in Westwood, and I didn't have a partner, and there was a guy who was semi-homeless, a Brahma, and he was a little, whacked out, and he would come to class always, and anyways, he became my partner. They chose him to be my partner. And I was working on standing up for myself and saying no and self-esteem. Because, you know, it's so easy for me to just accommodate and be half Iranian, you know, just the whole thing, all the stuff. And I said, no, I don't want him as my partner. And it was such a, like, huge boulder for me to climb to do this. But I was like, this is also my tantric. And I want to be mirrored by somebody. You know, I don't want to be propping this person up. And
yeah.
So I said no. And then they're like, okay, well, we have this guy. And this, like, Adonis, the son of a Sikh teacher. He was, like, the most beautiful man I've ever seen, you know. And he was my – I was like, okay, God, I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And then it was –
And look what happens when you put boundaries.
Yes.
Up. Yes. Yeah.
And it was, like, the most incredible, you know, tantric experience.
Expands your capacity. Yeah. So this was all after you had babies, going through heartbreak. Mm-hmm. And then when was your skincare line? When did that start?
That started – well, so when
and
I
And have you always been an entrepreneur?
Well, I was
or creator.
An actress.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess so, because I was always writing plays, doing my own outside of the box, right? Producing my own movies, my plays. I always wanted to do something that wasn't, you know, like, wanted to do something on, like, Josephine Bonaparte, Napoleon's wife, or, you know, something that's not, like, typical.
Yeah.
But when I was doing Kundalini 5 days a week with my friend Jennifer, with Kate, we all three had a download one day. We had an awakening, Kundalini awakening. And Kundalini Kate said, I'm going to open a place called Rama. It's going to be a university of yogic.
It actually is.
And it is. And I'm going to be Guru Jagat. And we were like, okay. And then my friend Jennifer was like, I'm going to open a store called Pearl Drop, which she did. She since closed it. And I said, I'm going to start a skincare line. I'm going to start with the oil that I've been using myself for like 15 years, the rose oil I brought you that
I cannot wait.
And I was like, that's going to be my first product. I didn't know anything about business or beauty or so that was so fast. The three of us all, because when you do it together too, we need to do Kundalini
together. We do.
It is that energy too, the collective
energy.
And that's why tantric is so
powerful. And that's
powerful.
Where creative, yeah.
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 Definitely.
A lot of creation happens from that space.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It turns on your aliveness. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I was always so into, I've always been a leader in the food industry, cleansing the body, eating really clean.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
So
you've been vegetarian, I'm sure.
I wouldn't even say like, not labels, but like I eat from the earth.
From the earth, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And what do you do now?
Like, still eat from the earth.
And is it intuitive?
Yes. Yeah. And it's deepened over the years as I've deepened.
Yeah.
You know, so it's as I've done liver flushes and parasite cleanses and just gotten so, I would guess, clean.
Do
and
you have
just
a favorite parasite cleanse?
Yes. It's the Zen cleanse. Have you heard of this?
I don't know that.
The 7-day rainbow enzyme cleanse. It's from Taiwan. It will change your life.
Okay.
It is a deep spiritual portal. I just did it with my friend. We did it last week.
Okay, I'm going to do it today.
Yeah. That's like I would, changed.
Because I've done a few of them, but that, wow. Okay.
It's enzymes that have been fermented for 5 years. And so, and these people who've fermented it are very in touch. So you're taking it and you're going through this cleansing portal, and it is a spiritual awakening in itself. So that really changed how I ate, because I was always into food combining and Ayurveda, and and then I did this cleanse and I saw my body was capable of and that really changed. And then I was like, fruits, vegetables, sometimes I eat oysters, sometimes fish, but just like really connected to
the land.
Food, the land. Yeah.
And do you have a place you shop at here?
So that's where I'm struggling a little bit here, because it's great. You're really into dairy and, you know, then you can get that from the land. Right. But I'm struggling a little bit. There's a farm, Bogie Creek Farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a farmer's market.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. But it's not like California. I mean, I would go to this farm stand in Malibu and I got all my groceries and figs and peaches.
Have you been to Kauai yet?
I went during COVID.
Oh, you did.
It wasn't the best experience because they were kind of like
leave. Were very strict there during COVID.
But I'll have to try.
Because the farmers markets there are beautiful.
Yeah. I'm a big foodie.
But definitely LA. I mean, Santa Monica. You know, I started going when I was 18. There was an older woman I met at a Hollywood party. It's kind of crazy. I was just there. and she was recruiting women for the Saudi prince.
Oh, wow. Fascinating.
Yeah, I know. Really fascinating. And I was like, you know, too much of a rebel to do that. But she kind of took me under her wing. Her name was Deborah. She was older, like 10 years older than me. I was going to UC. And this is, oh, I was a little bit later because I was going to UCLA. But she taught me how to eat. Like from the, she would take me to the farmer's market and she'd buy a beautiful avocado, beautiful lime, you know, a beautiful, and then she would go home and like show me, you know, walnuts, cheese, and then just like make a plate with these things. And I was, it just like.
It's an art. You know, I love to just buy the different vegetables that are in season and then I, you know, saute
it. You don't do anything to it.
No, I put a little za'atar on it, a little, yeah, and just make like a green sauce with basil and chives and mint.
Well, that's the thing, when the fruit and the food is so, you know, fresh and beautifully grown, you don't need to add anything to it.
What is your eating like?
Oh, well, that's when I lived in LA and San Pacific Palisades, I would go every Wednesday and I would get my produce and I would basically cook for whatever was in season.
Yeah.
And I miss that so much.
Yeah, like me
too. The fava beans and the springtime and the greens and the, oh, and that far, I knew all the farmers by name.
I am friends with them. We still DM on Instagram. I'm like, I'll be back someday.
Well, what's more intimate than having a relationship with people who grow your food?
And you know, I mean, I loved knowing my farmer.
Yes. Yes. Like on a deep, deep level. So here it's a little different. You know, my partner is he's very Texan. He loves his meat. Not that I eat meat medicinally, you know, I'll eat it like once in a while, I'll eat it. But I can't do it every day like he does. But we have chickens, so we have a lot of eggs. And then we grow a garden, so we have that. We have a bunch of fruit trees we've planted, so we have fruit. But it's, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I go through phases.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, seasons.
But I still love to make a dal, you know, and I'm always like, I made Persian food the other day and I was like, I wonder how many kilometers we are from someone else who made Persian food here.
Yeah.
Like the outskirts of, you know, of Austin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm always like wondering. I miss that, the cultural, you know. So, but I'll go to LA. I'll go into May and get my fix.
Yeah. Will you ever go back?
You know, it's interesting. I'm in that place right now wondering if I don't know if I could live there again. I don't know. Maybe California somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could live in LA again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You and I have been talking about it.
Yeah, I feel similar. I don't think LA, but yeah, California.
Have you visited places like North Carolina?
Yeah, so my brother just moved to Charleston.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is. And I, you know, I like the South, but every time I've tried to leave California twice now. Mm-hmm. And every time I get to the 9-month mark and there's just things about the air and the humidity and the produce that it just.
Could be your, I mean, yeah. Have you done your chart? You know,
yeah, I'm on my moon line on the coast of California, which is mothering, home, nurturing.
Right.
Yeah, emotions.
Where's your Venus line?
I don't remember Venus line. I'm on my Jupiter line here.
Okay.
So it's been really great for this speaking business.
Right.
Having fun. I get a lot of free shit here.
Yeah. So, I know. It's so interesting when you do it. There is a lot of truth to that.
Where's your line in
I
here?
Don't
do you know?
Remember all of them, but I remember Venus is like parts of Mexico, which I really am drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Yucatan.
So humble. Sexy there.
Yeah, so sexy. And then there's another line in Humble, which is like way north, like the big trees and the.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is one in the South Pacific, which I love. It's in the ocean, but it's near enough to Hawaii. I'm like, yes, I know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I did my partner's and literally all his lines are in Texas.
Okay.
Like all of them.
Yeah, so he's here for a reason.
Yeah, he's here. He's never leaving.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Neither are you.
Well, yeah. Did I am
maybe another free. Kundalini awakening will get you somewhere else.
Well, I think I have that free spirit too, which I need to try. It's great that he's here and he'll be the base and maybe I can go travel and come back, you know.
That's what this eclipse really taught me. I don't know how much you felt this past eclipse, but, you know, I was just 2 weeks ago doing a Q&A on Instagram and people are like, are you going to stay in Austin? I'm like, yes, you know, because we always want these labels. And then the eclipse came and I went this huge like identity thing again. It was like, I miss the food. I miss the earth. And it was giving the lesson and it was giving myself permission
to be okay
with what I feel like. Like the mantra is I give myself permission to change my mind.
Yes.
And, you know, we so badly want to hold on to something like, oh, yeah, I live here. Right. This is my career. You know, for so long, I was like, it's the food. Now it's the kundalini. It's like, no, it's my work's the body, the human body. Yeah. You know, I've lived in Texas, and I'm going to live here for a year, and it's been really healing, and give myself permission to what's next.
See, that's
next.
Being in your feminine, really. Isn't that being in your feminine? Yeah. Like, being soft and listening and
that's
not being so rigid.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's like what
my teacher said that she did the mushroom ceremony with me, and she's feminine embodiment, but she's like, the divine feminine is the person who changes their mind.
Yeah.
And allows themselves to change the mind. It's a woman's
prerogative, you know, that saying. It's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. And it should be, yes, because we change. We change every 28 days.
Talk about the cycle a little bit.
Well, this is like what's in my course, the water course. I'm diving deep too into our cycles. And, you know, for women, like, you know, when you just look at the calendar, you see how it's not, there's no coincidence, right? There's 28 days in our cycle. There's usually 28 to 30. There's 28 to 30 years a woman has a cycle. You know, you start like putting all the dots together and you start seeing why we want to live in harmony with the moon cycle and with nature and with the seasons. And so I'm really going deeply into that. And also because I'm coming on to the next phase of my life, you know, women used to live to like, they used to die around 50. You know, now we have a whole nother chapter till our 70s, 80s, 90s. So like the old premise of the three-tiered goddess, like maiden, mother, crone, no longer applies. I think there's a whole nother chapter between mother and crone where women are like even so vital and so, you know, excited and full of life and life force. And so this can be, you know, some people call it the enchantress, some people the medicine woman, some people call it maga. So that's something that I've been diving deep into also.
And then what's the water?
The water. So water came about because, I mean, I grew up by the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up like living next to the ocean and I took it for granted. I really did. And it wasn't until I moved here where our waters are underground. The aquifers run underground. I mean, we have a creek, but it's dry right now. And I really had this like yearning for water. And, you know, we were in a drought, so I was doing water ceremonies. And then I really realized how we are, women especially, are so interconnected with the water. And then you start diving down deep into structured water and how water is a vortex and how it should be spiraled and how that's how it becomes alive and how it has consciousness. And I believe water is a deity. I really do. I really believe like water is this, you know, incredibly profound teacher to us. So this course is going to be about that and how as women we can amplify our feminine ways through water. So it's hopefully coming out in May.
Yeah, I was going to say, when's it out?
It's already filmed. We just have to put some finishing touching.
Yeah, keep
images.
Me posted on
I
it.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think you'll appreciate it because you know, and you drink spring water, right?
Yeah.
So spring water.
You have to.
I know. I know. And it's so, you know, when you see, it's such a crime against humanity, the water right now that people are drinking. I mean, the fluoride and the chlorine and what it does to our pituitary and our thymus and our thyroid. And I mean, they're killing us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bioweapon. I mean, the food is a bioweapon and the water is a mm-hmm. bioweapon. There's no question about it. You know, this is 100%. I believe that. Like, this is like when you start drinking alive water, like I feel like because I've been drinking so much, it's making me more wild. You know,
yeah.
it's like untaming me in a way.
Yeah.
Because we are water. We are mostly water. Our spinal fluid is water. You know, our blood, when we drink water, it becomes our blood like in a few minutes. Mm. Like this is like so interconnected even more than the food we eat. It's like the water,
mm-hmm.
you know, and water can hear us. So if you want to bless your bath or your shower, you know, before you get into it, if you want to do a little altar, water altar, I mean, it hears you. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen Vida Austin's work. Mm-hmm. Where she freezes the intentions into the water and it shows up. I mean, that's like more proof. I think we're having an awakening in humanity in our communities with water in a big way.
And blessing the water.
Blessing the water.
Yeah.
And letting it run. You know, natural water in nature runs in a vortex. you know, stagnant water becomes diseased. It's like our bodies, right? So we have to keep our bodies moving. This is why movement and getting the lymph system to move is so vital, because the water needs to move.
Yeah, we have to move.
We have to move.
That's how we move energy.
Like if you look at water in nature, it always comes in a spiral. Mm-hmm. You know? It's never stagnant. And I mean, what do we do to our world? We put up these dams. I saw this film.
But it's also like everything we've been the systems, it's either it's a physical dam or a dam in the rules or in the healthcare system. Yeah. Or there's all of these dams trying to get us away from our true nature, because our true nature knows. That's why so much, like even how I share Kundalini, I talk about it from the animal body. Like when I'm cueing things, I'm like, forget what anyone said, get into your animal body, because we know, you know, we're primal.
So you mean your animal, like you get into...
Like get into your animal body. Oh, yeah. Like imagine that you're an animal, you know, animals know what to do.
Right?
Then it's... That's your intuition.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's like... crazy.
Undo the dams, you know? And that's why I think when we have world events, to question them, because it's like, is this coming from true nature?
Yeah. I mean, do you think more people are waking up than not? I mean, do you think like there's an
awakening? Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, the more people like us who stand in our sovereign truth, I feel like it's changed my universe.
Yeah.
You know, I lost 20,000 followers during that time.
Oh my gosh, me too. Yeah. Probably more.
Yeah. But at the same time, my world, the people I know, the people I connect with, the people I meet, they all share, these are our conversations.
Yes.
And so to me, it's like, but I don't know.
Right.
Because I've created that world for myself.
Amazing. Now, do you block a lot of people?
When they're mean. Yeah.
I know.
When they're mean.
Me too.
When it feels just unnecessary and it's really not coming from kindness.
Yeah.
And I do it for them too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I do it for them too. Agree. Yeah.
I know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time. Yeah. Well, we found each other.
I know. Right?
And this is like, that's the thing. Maybe that's it. Somebody was saying too, like, that's the most valuable thing is community.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Because, like, if we can't, like, if everything crashes, we can't even use money. You
know? We need our people.
Maybe the land and the water.
Yes.
But being able to, like, go to someone's house and get water or food.
Yes.
Give it to you, you know.
Yeah.
We can take care of each other.
It's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, what do you have for my peoples to connect more with you on skincare? Water course.
Yes, the water course is coming soon.
Keep me posted on that. I'll post it when it's out.
I have a moon course that's already out.
Ooh.
So the moon course has been out a couple of years, and it's all about how to live in tune with the moon. And, you know, like whether you bleed on the new moon or whether you bleed on the full moon and what that means and how you can sync up to it and, you know, why the moon is such a blessing. And it's the yin energy.
Mm.
And, you know, we actually get vitamin D from the moon. Most people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
You can actually receive. And at one time we did. You know, we slept under the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Or we, you know, worked under the moon. So the moon course is already out. And then, the water course will be out soon.
And then you have your skincare line.
And then I have my skincare line. That's Shiva Rose Beauty on Instagram. And then I'm Local Rose at Instagram.
Amazing. You'll be tagged in the show notes too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks.
It's been such a pleasure to connect
with
you.
Satnam.
Yeah, Satnam. We have to do some Kundalini now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. To stay connected with me, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke for all things body forward, my food methods, my movement methods, my meditation methods, my daily practice, the things that I do each and every day to stay connected to my body, to my truth. You can go to bodyforward.com. That is the home to all of my methods. I have a membership that has everything you could need to live the Kenzie Burke lifestyle, to stay devoted to yourself, to stay devoted to transformation. I am so grateful you are here each and every day. I am just in so much gratitude that I get to share this journey with you. So again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day.